Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the last time we had Ben Westhoff on, he was on for a riveting conversation about West Coast hip-hop. It was a great conversation. It was like an hour long that he was in the studio and we talked. So naturally, he's got a new book out about fentanyl. Fentanyl Inc. is the new book. It's about the unbelievable world of synthetic drugs and this particular drug. It's called Fentanyl Inc., How Rogue Chemists Are Creating the Deadliest Wave of the Opioid Epidemic. Like I said, Ben Westhoff, a prolific author and writer, and he is on the phone with us now. Ben, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back, Justin.
What a tremendous contrast to talk about music and the birth of West Coast hip-hop to move to fentanyl. How, as a writer, as an investigative reporter, do you move from the history of entertainment to synthetic drugs?
Yeah, well, I actually had a friend die from fentanyl. This was in 2010, and I didn't really know what fentanyl was back then. And in the meantime, I was writing about hip-hop and music and stuff, but this really captured my attention, the death of my friend, and then learning that fentanyl had somehow become the most deadly drug crisis in American history, and it seemed like no one was really even talking about it very much, so I really drilled down.
To take this on, it comes from a personal place. But I think that, you know, as the whole country has paid attention to opioids now, a lot of people still don't know what fentanyl is. Explain what fentanyl is before we get into the nitty-gritty about the book.
Yeah, it's basically synthetic heroin. So whereas heroin comes from a plant, opium poppy, fentanyl is made in a lab. And so the opioid crisis has basically come in three waves. So prescription pills like OxyContin were the first wave, and then when people got addicted, their prescriptions ran out. A lot of them switched over to heroin, and that was the second wave. And now in places like Chicago, you can't find pure heroin almost anywhere. It's almost all cut with fentanyl, and that represents the third wave.
And we've seen a lot of that here, especially on the West Side. In recent memory, there were news stories about bad batches of heroin with fentanyl. It's something that you think is, you know, of a mad scientist story where, like you say, rogue chemists. But the traditional way that this became a drug was definitely in labs, but it was done by the medical community. It wasn't something that people learned off of YouTube first. I mean, this was something that at first for fentanyl was done legitimately.
Yeah, exactly. It was invented by this Belgian chemist in the 50s, and fentanyl was and still is an important medical drug. Like women giving birth when they have an epidural are given fentanyl, and men who get colonoscopies get fentanyl. There's a patch, cancer patients. But when we hear about all these people dying from fentanyl, that's not from the hospital. That's not medical fentanyl. That fentanyl is made illegally in Chinese labs, and it gets shipped over here.
When did this start? Did we start to see illegal fentanyl hitting the streets as opposed to being only used in hospitals and procedures?
It was really only in the past 5 years, and basically nobody saw it coming. The DEA released a report in 2015, 4 years ago, that said basically fentanyl, it's not a big problem, it's too strong. People don't want it because it could kill them. And they underestimated it, and so did everyone else. And only a year later, in 2016, it was killing more people than heroin, crack, meth, everything. And it's only gotten worse since then.
And a lot of it has to do with the way that it's made, but also as we move to the rogue chemists, it is something interesting. This was built in a lab, so of course other chemists and other lab technicians or even on the black market are going to figure out how to make it. It's almost like a recipe.
Yeah, and you know, in the internet age, it's easier than ever to find out how to make fentanyl. You can just look it up on the internet. And you know, drugs previously came from places like Mexico, Afghanistan, and Colombia. But these were mostly natural drugs, you know, like marijuana, heroin, cocaine. They came from plants. But China is different. China has this big chemical industry with all these scientists making drugs in labs. And so now China is becoming the new place where all these new bad drugs are coming from.
Now, you know, and we'll get into where they're coming from, but China has a long history with opium and drug problems of its own. How can the Chinese government or the China in general, that society, be okay with fentanyl being produced like this?
Well, for my book, I actually went undercover pretending to be a drug dealer, and went into some of these Chinese labs, and I was expecting to see kind of an underground, shady labs with guys with AK-47s like guarding the door, but it wasn't like that at all. These were professional-seeming labs. They were in like regular office parks, and I found out the reason for that is because a lot of these drugs are actually legal in China, and so all this stuff, like types of fentanyl that was banned here, was still, when I went and visited these labs, was still legal in China. And so these companies can actually operate above board. And, you know, they operate on the internet, they use email, Skype, and they send these drugs right through the mail using like UPS and FedEx.
Hmm. And how is that legal in the United States? I don't know much about our drug policies and, you know, when it comes to any of the drugs we've been talking about. But how are they in a position where they can treat it legally in their country and be able to just ship it to this country?
Well, it's not legal. It comes into this country, you know, it's basically smuggled in. And these shipping companies like UPS and FedEx and even the U.S. Postal Service don't know what's being sent. You know, fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin. So just a tiny, tiny amount, like 2 grains of rice, is enough to make someone overdose. Wow. So all these drugs are disguised. They're in fake packaging. And, you know, Trump has talked a lot about scanning all these packages and penalizing the shipping companies. And, you know, they've started doing stuff like that, but there's millions and millions of packages coming from China every month, and so it's just impossible to scan them all.
Absolutely. Ben Westhoff's my guest. He's the author of Fentanyl, Inc., which how rogue chemists are creating the deadliest wave of the opioid epidemic. Ben, a great author who's been on this program before. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll continue the conversation about fentanyl here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest, Ben Westhoff, is on the phone. Fentanyl, Inc., How Rogue Chemists Are Creating the Deadliest Wave of the Opioid Epidemic. The book is out now. He is on tour. Ben, this is startling because we have seen so much research and we have seen so much outreach, I guess you would say, public outreach about opioids. Everything about the epidemic has been publicized. Why aren't we hearing more about fentanyl? Why is it that we're still on the first or second wave of opioid when it comes to mainstream understanding?
That's a good question. And I think it's because we have OxyContin, you know, it's a legitimate pharmaceutical that was prescribed by doctors. The company that made it, Purdue Pharma, really downplayed the risks. And so people became addicted and the public was really outraged. And now there are all these lawsuits against companies like Purdue Pharma and Johnson & Johnson. And it could be, you know, worth billions and billions of dollars in settlements. But now that people became addicted to these pills, they switched over to heroin. You know, these are law-abiding citizens. And then many got fentanyl when they didn't even want it. It was cut into heroin by drug dealers to make more money because it's so much cheaper. And so fentanyl is not a drug people ask for on the streets, usually, you know, on the west side of Chicago or other places. They ask for heroin, but then the fentanyl is cut in there without their knowing, and many just die instantly.
I think of the municipalities. I've had conversations on this program. We talk about either the western suburbs or other people getting their officers or their task force up to speed on what to do to prevent heroin in their communities. How far behind the eight ball are we when it comes to fentanyl? Our communities, when it comes to law enforcement and anyone who's trying to stop drug overdoses, are we kind of in the dark?
Well, I will say this. Chicago has really been on the forefront when it comes to using something called Narcan. Narcan is basically this miracle drug. It's an opioid reversal nasal spray. So if someone overdoses on opioids, be it heroin, fentanyl, or pills, when they get this spray, they come back to life. And so Chicago has literally saved thousands and thousands of lives in the last few years by doing this. And so I think that's good progress. The problem is still that a lot of times we're locking up all these kind of small-time users. And, you know, I think we really need to start thinking of fentanyl abuse and heroin abuse more as a disease and try to treat it instead of more prison.
And maybe go after the companies that are making this stuff, especially now because it's not grown. It's not something that's from the land necessarily, which creates a lot of moral and ethical questions. This is something in a lab for the purpose of getting you high.
Exactly, yeah. There is no medical purpose for this fentanyl. And, you know, and Trump is also going after China about this using the trade war. And so he's basically been saying, China, you better, you know, stop this fentanyl from coming into the U.S. or we're going to increase tariffs and things like that. And it's had a mixed amount of success, but there's no doubt that China is not really doing much to stop this problem. And the reason is because fentanyl isn't a problem in China. The Chinese citizens are not addicted to fentanyl and dying of it. And people think that's why China is really not cracking down like they should be.
All right. The most, I would say, compelling part of this book is you going undercover to get into a fentanyl lab. Take us through that process, because you could write this book without doing that. But for you, you went the extra step of actually starting the conversation, Googling how to buy fentanyl in China. How did you go about getting all the way to a fentanyl lab in China?
Yeah, you're right. I did start. I just Googled, you know, buy fentanyl in China, and all these companies came up, and I clicked on their links, and they literally had their email addresses for the salespeople. And so I made a fake email address, I pretended to be a drug dealer, and I just said I was going to come to China, and would they be willing to show me their labs? And a couple people said yes. And so I found myself in Shanghai, kind of really freaking out, because I got in a car with this lab chemist, and we started driving out way, you know, to the outskirts of Shanghai. I was worried there was sort of, they were going to break my kneecaps if they found out I was a reporter. And we arrived to this lab. Like I said, it looked like a suburban, you know, office park kind of thing. But inside, it was really a scene out of Breaking Bad with all this industrial-sized glassware, these huge piles of drugs. Some were in bags. Some were being synthesized before my eyes. And I couldn't believe the enormous scale in which it was all happening.
Okay, so I guess the question as we look forward on this is just, I think the curious part in me is this going to be the future of drugs? I mean, we're going to see companies, like you're saying, like in office parks, whether it be in foreign countries or even here in the United States, that are going to be putting molecules together and recipes to create things to get us high. Is synthesized drugs the future of drugs?
I think, unfortunately, that it is, because when you grow a plant, you know, to make heroin or cocaine or something like that, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, and the cops can see these big fields of poppies or whatever. But with synthetic drugs that are made in a lab, can be done quickly, can be done anywhere. And that's why groups like the Mexican cartels, for example, are switching over from heroin to fentanyl as fast as they can, because it's so much cheaper. It's so much powerful. They're buying all the drugs from China, and it just looks like it's going to remake the whole drugs landscape.
And the worst part about that is that the distribution is already in place. It's not like a new drug, and they need to figure out how to get it places. If they go through the cartels and other places, that distribution, the heroin highway, if you will, is intact.
Right. And I talked with people on every step of the distribution chain for my book, and you know, it comes through the border with Mexico, just the regular borders, stashed in cars, and then they start the distribution chain in the southwestern U.S. and it comes through places like St. Louis, where I live, on its way for places like Chicago, which is a major distribution point. And I even talked to drug distributors who were saying, yeah, we're setting up sort of permanent distribution sites in Chicago. So we'll always, you know, have the stock and be ready to go, which was a really terrifying thing to hear about.
A fascinating read by a fascinating writer, Ben Westhoff. The book is called Fentanyl, Inc., How Rogue Chemists Are Creating the Deadliest Wave of the Opioid Epidemic. Ben, always a pleasure to talk with you. Congrats on the book, and good luck in the future.
Well, thanks again, Justin.